This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You're a heartbreaker, dream maker, love taker. Don't you mess around with me. You're a heartbreaker, dream taker. Oh, wait, dream maker, love taker. Don't you mess around. No, no, no. Wow, honestly, I should be new Pat Benatar. What an incredible song. Heartbreaker by Pat Benatar. I feel so thrilled that I got to start my day singing that song and that my listeners get to listen to me singing that song, because you're wondering, whoa, 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 okay, you're singing Pat Benatar. What year are we in? Well, I'm here to tell you we are in the year 1983. We are back to the 80s, probably a time that I really, really am jealous of, that I didn't get to go through as like a teen and or go experience my 20s in. And we'll get to my feelings about that when I introduce my fabulous guest. So just to let you guys know what was happening in pop culture in 1983, I'll tell you. Flashdance, okay, came out in 1983. Huge. Trading Places, huge. The A-Team, insane. I know that we're not supposed to talk about this person, but I gotta say, Billie Jean came out by Michael Jackson. And I know, well, we can bleep the name. Tootsie! Tootsie's huge! National Lampoon's Vacation. I mean, Chevy Chase, we can't get enough of the guy. And then, of course, Fraggle Rock. And how can we forget Ronald Reagan was the prez? You know, a lot was going on. And I just want to say one more thing. It's a song that I love. Down Under by Men at Work was also number 2 on the charts for the entire year of 1983. And where were we in 1983 when we were listening to Welcome to the Land Down Under? We were in Tallahassee, Florida. And who are we? We are the, this is actually a huge episode for us, Senior Superlatives, because I have the one and only Cheryl Hines here.
Hello.
I am freaking out.
Same. I am also freaking out.
I am freaking out because I am a huge, crazy fan. And when Tevi texted me yesterday being like, Cheryl is going to come on the show, I crashed my car. I couldn't believe it. I'm so thrilled.
I'm just so happy to be here. I love that you're talking about high school, because it is, it's oddly so important.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time,
not
as important
as you think.
I know.
It is. It's kind of that interesting little cocktail of like.
Yeah. But when you're in it, you cannot see the difference.
Well, that's what I said. I said this on last week's episode, that best friendship in high school, relationships in high school, love in high school, those things are like blood oaths.
They're stronger than
marriage.
Yeah. They're real. They're strong. And you're really feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the hard thing for adults to keep in mind and understand, because even though you're feeling these feelings that are sophisticated and very strong, you're also like very upset if you don't have Captain Crunch and somebody put the cereal box back in the pantry and it's empty and now you're going to be late for school.
Yeah.
And that's not fair.
Yeah.
And it's like, it seems, As a teenager, sometimes you present that problem on the same plane as a real problem.
Yes.
So parents are like, me and Lily.
Yeah. But you get crisscrossed. You don't know where your priorities are.
You have to manage your feelings and what you want people to know is important to you.
Yes.
which is not easy.
No, it's not. No. So when you were in high school, I have to know, what was going on with you? What were you like? What was your high school like? Were you, because I'm getting, and people get this, people look at me because I'm obviously so stunning and perfect.
Yes, of course.
And people think, yes, Greta, you were popular. Yeah, and I say, no, no.
No.
But when I look at you, I think, Cheryl, you were popular.
So popular. I was a bit of a mixed bag. If you will. I went to a very big high school. So my, well, what I considered big, I think our senior, I think my graduating class was like 500 or
something. That's big.
That's big.
I consider that big.
I mean, I think our whole school is like 2,000 or something.
That's like big. Bigger than Sarah Lawrence College.
Yeah.
That's so a it huge was big. School.
It's public school. My parents got divorced when I was in ninth grade. Mm.
Was that hard for you?
It
me
was,
being a full therapist, was that hard was, for you?
It wasn't easy, but not for the reasons that people might think. I mean, everybody has their own experience with it, but my family, we didn't have much money. I had two brothers and a sister, and we needed to divide up. The kids needed to divide up. And so my sister and I went with my dad. Hmm. My brothers went with my mom. And then my freshman year, my sister and I were living in a weird little apartment with my dad, who was never home. Hmm. And it was just like, you know, what's happening?
Right.
Who's in charge of groceries?
Right.
And, you know, there were like boxes. I don't think we ever really unpacked. It was just weird, you
like
know?
Like a little mayhem.
It was a little mayhem, but so when I went to school, it was like this great escape for me, and I loved high school. But I didn't realize until my senior year that I think people did perceive me as having, I don't know, this great life with, you know, money or whatever. Because that's what I thought about other people,
right?
You know? But I think I was right.
and you were.
And I was right. but I – was I popular in my own way? I was on the softball team.
Were you good?
No, I was terrible. As a matter of fact, I was so terrible. But my sister is two years older than me, and she was a junior when I was a freshman, and she said, "Cheryl, you don't want to take regular PE, like that. You will hate it. So just sign up for the softball team." My sister was an amazing athlete. She was amazing. She said, "Sign up for the softball team. You'll never have to play. You'll sit on the bench." And I was like, done and done.
Yes.
I was on the softball team. I did sit on the bench. One of my jobs was one of the girls, the seniors, had a baby. Whoa. And so when she was up at bat or in the field, I would hold her baby.
Oh, my God.
And I would lead all the chants, you know, like once around first and once around second while I'm cradling the baby. And,
oh, my God. You like 14?
Yes, I was 14. And I had the best time. And I was also – my freshman year, I tried out for cheerleading, and I made it, which was – interesting because I had a few friends on that cheerleading squad, but most of them I didn't really connect with that well. Mm-hmm. And so I remember one time there was a very heated fight among the cheerleaders.
That's scary.
About if we're wearing bobby socks or knee socks. And I was like, is this really what's happening?
And what side were you on?
I was like, I don't give a flying ball. Whatever you guys want to decide. Nobody in this high school cares if we're wearing knee socks or bobby socks. So there was part of it that was just, the cheerleaders thought that everybody was so focused on us. Mm. And then I would go home and my older brother was a senior, and he was happy to tell me, nobody goes to the football games to watch the cheerleaders. And it was a tradition at my high school. Don't ask me why. During the we would have like pep rallies or what were they called when people had the yeah, students pep. Had to go and they had to watch whatever you were putting on.
Like pep rallies or it's like the students would gather before a game, right?
Yeah, but this was mandatory. Like during school, you must go watch like, this pep rally.
It was a pep rally, I think.
Yeah.
Because it happens during school days.
Right.
And you need to go to the gym or something.
Right, right. But it was also like they would do it for if we had a play presentation or something.
Oh.
It'll come to me. Anyway, one of the traditions was they would divide up the classes because the school was so big. So we'd have freshmen and sophomores would come watch the thing, pep rally, and then the juniors and seniors. And it was the seniors, for whatever reason, well, both of them, juniors and seniors, when the freshman cheerleaders would come out, they would boo the entire time.
I mean, that's kind of humbling.
It was very, that's when I'm like, why are we worried about Bobby Sox? So, but I remember my mom saying to my brother, well, I know that you don't boo your sister. And he's like, of course I do. So it was humbling. And it was like, okay.
Do you remember any of the cheers?
We had the worst cheers. One of our cheers was, and this made the faculty furious, because the cheerleaders would say, wind it up. And all the boys would say, it's up. Wind it up. It's up. And the rest of the cheer was, I can boogie with you, baby. If you want to see me boogie, all you got to do is wind me up. Woo. That was the cheer. So
that was supposed to like boost morale for the game.
Yes. And so my friend Linda, who was a really good friend of mine, and she was also on the squad, we would make up our own cheers because the cheers were so dumb.
It's embarrassing.
One of the cheers that we made up that really could have been a cheer was, hey, all right, all right. Hey, all right, all right. Hey, all right. Hey, all right. Hey, all right, all right. And the girls would look over and go, what? That's a good one. And we're like, it's not. I mean, it was just like, give me a red, give me a red, give me a red, red, red. Give me a white, give me a white, give me a white, white, white. Red, white, red, white. All right.
Cheerleading.
That was a real one. That was a real one.
They really need to workshop these cheers. We need to get in touch with the school now and see.
I would be so curious to see how
you
they're doing.
You should write. You should be like, hi, it's Cheryl, probably one of your most successful and well-known alumni. Yes. I'm just calling curious. To check in on the cheer
How's
team.
How are the cheers coming along? Did they ever improve? Besides wind me up.
It's up. We didn't have cheerleading at my high school.
That sounds appropriate.
You know, my high school...
Was your high school big or small?
My high school was small, private, progressive. It really prided itself on being like a DC progressive.
Mine was
private
the complete
school.
Opposite of everything you just said.
Yeah. And we like, I remember being like, why? Because I had a fantasy. I just wanted to wear the cheerleading outfit.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be a cheerleader.
It's a lot of work.
I just wanted the look.
Yeah, it's cute.
It's very cute.
So
like
cute.
That little skirt yes. and that little top.
Yes.
The little matching thing.
Yes.
And I remember knowing that my school, it like was like against everything that they stood for, you know, like it is demeaning, uh-huh. it is sexist, it is like all of these things. And I was like, well, what about the girlies that want to be cheering?
Right. Because it actually, I mean, cheerleaders get a bad rap, but it does take a lot of skill, especially when you're doing gymnastics with it, and you're standing for the whole game. You
yeah.
no matter what the weather game. Is, you have to wear that dumb outfit. But so I did that, and then I also was in chorus and drama.
And
that's it.
Did you love him? Did you love chorus?
Oh,
did you love
chorus
drama?
And drama. That was my, you know, those were my people. Mm. Yeah. And I ended up getting kicked off of the cheerleading squad.
What, why?
Well, if you had 3 bad citizenship grades.
Oh, my God.
It's like conduct grades.
I was going to say, it's a police state.
I like that they were called citizenship. So if you were late to class or if you talked during class,
then
you would get a bad citizenship grade. And there was this one teacher who really did not appreciate my style. And she kept giving me bad citizenship grades. And I said, I went to her and I said, you know, I'm on probation. If I get one more, I'm going to get kicked off. Which, looking back,
yeah,
Mrs. Dorn did not care.
Yeah. She was probably like, oh, just one more?
Yeah. She was like, if I have to look at you in that dumb outfit one more Friday, I'm going to lose my mind. So she said, if you come after school and do, you know, extra credit, then it will raise your citizenship grade one, you know, so even if you get a bad one. So I did that, and I still got a bad one.
No.
And she said it would have been worse. And I got kicked off.
What a threat.
I know that.
What a bitch. It's true. I mean, there are some teachers that are really out to get.
No, I had a
children.
I had another one that was really intense. But I got kicked off. Half of the squad got kicked off.
For bad citizenship.
Yes.
Well, it sounds like bad citizenship is really easy to get.
It is. But also we had a conduct code as cheerleaders. You weren't allowed to be seen smoking anywhere. You weren't allowed to be seen drinking anywhere. And if anybody saw you do something inappropriate, you would get kicked off.
So what, you basically have a bunch of kids narking on you all the time? Or I guess it's teachers. Like,
yeah,
see you smoking.
Both. I don't think the kids did it that much. Listen, the kids did not care.
No.
They were like, we don't care if you're cheerleaders or not.
No.
Cuckoo birds, whatever you want is fine.
Live your life.
Put on the skirt, whatever. We don't care.
Go to chorus.
Go to chorus.
Go to cheer. Do whatever you need to do.
But my school was divided. We had little labels. Did you have labels in your school?
Meaning what? Like cliques?
Like cliques, yeah.
Yeah. We had cliques. There was a clique the year above me. The Hot Boys, they were called the oh my God, I need to actually text my friend Patrick because he'll remember. It's actually the most embarrassing clique name ever. It was called like – it was not like the DGAF crew, but it was like something – like that.
Wow.
But I need to know the name of your groups.
Well, ours were very standard. By the way, my school, when I was going there, I think we were celebrating like 100 years.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was a very old high school. And what I did love about it was that they did have a lot of traditions that were sweet and, you know, everybody embraced them. And I'm not saying that the cliques were part of that. But when I got there, they were already labeled that we had the jocks, the Archies.
What are the – oh, like the comic?
No, I guess. I don't even know how it started, but they were like the rich kids. So, yeah, I guess. Like they were called the Archies.
Was Archie like rich in the comics?
I have no idea.
I don't think so.
Is it like a royalty thing?
Maybe like Archibalds, like hoity-toity.
Oh, I have no idea how it started.
The Archies,
that's kind of cute. So the
Archies
were the ones, they were very preppy. Mm. And they would wear the, you know, topsiders and whatever was in style and whatever was expensive that everybody else couldn't afford. And then there were the Sochies. I was a Sochie.
The Sochies? What is that? Like Sochies? Like,
yeah, we did everything. We went to all the dances. Even the dumb ones.
I love
that. They had a computer dance where they would, where you would fill out these forms and then they would match you up with 10 people and you were supposed to go to the dance and dance with those 10 people.
Based on like a weird computer algorithm?
Yes, but like I like horses. So do I.
So you would fill this out and then you were supposed to go to the dance and find those 10 people.
So my friends and I thought, that was the most hilarious thing. And we were like, we're doing it. So there was a group that was like, no matter what, this dumb school. And it wasn't a dumb school. I loved my school. But whatever dumb thing is happening at our school, we're doing it. Like Spirit Week, you know, today's whatever.
Like everyone needs to wear blue.
Yeah, we were blue head to toe beyond like – so blue eyeshadow.
I like that.
Yeah, we had a ball and we drove everybody else crazy because, like, you guys relax about the high school.
You're like, no, we love it here.
We love it. And then the Archies, you know, they would sometimes do sociable things. And sometimes if it was like gross, nobody goes to a computer dance.
Computer dance sounds like really ahead of its time,
it
actually.
It was ahead of its time.
Did you ever hit it off with anyone at a computer dance?
I would like to say no. But, I mean, that being said, I always had a great time.
Yes.
But did I fall in love at the computer dance?
No. See, when I went to high school, my generation were all, like, degenerates. Because, like, I was in, like, mid-2000s in high school, which is, like, peak culture of, like,
everybody's over it.
And like, boys, like, listening to rap music that's, like, get on your knees, dumb bitch, and suck my dick. And, like, a lot of that, you know? Uh-huh. So I feel like all of our cliques were mostly boys.
Yeah.
And there were cliques that were, like, fuck me crew or, like, whatever. And then our school was really divided. The way that our school was divided, it was kind of mapped out by where you sat.
Yeah.
Like,
same.
First floor by the theater were the theater kids, and a lot of them, right. A lot of clown style happening when I was in high school, like long striped socks, girls wearing tutus, things like that.
Wow, we did not have that.
I was like art freaky girl, so I was like always in the dark room being like mysterious and emotional.
Right. Did you have heavy eyeliner?
I did. I wore a lot of heavy eyeliner. Yeah.
Like maybe black nail polish sometimes?
No black nail polish because my mom wouldn't let me wear it.
Okay.
My mom was too much. Well, she was just like, it makes your hands look dirty. And I was like, okay. No black nail polish, but like dark, like burgundy tones, you know?
You were just skating by.
Emo girl.
Okay, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Misunderstood.
Well, we also had the freaks.
Oh, love the freak crew.
So the freaks were kind of that crew. We also had free kill.
What?
Which was a little hill, you know, and using the word hill loosely.
Yeah.
This was like a slanted
freak
piece
slope.
Of ground.
Yeah.
By freak the bump. School where they would sit outside and smoke. So that was free kill.
I would have been on free kill.
Yeah. So the freaks were like, we want no part of any of you. And they wore the black. And,
yeah.
You know, they were hat. Or you were also a freak if you smoked pot or weed. My daughter's always like, why do you say pot? That's so gross. But weed.
I say pot.
Yeah. You shouldn't.
Why not?
Because it makes you look old.
How old's your daughter?
18.
She's going to be saying pot in no time, honey. I'm counting down the days till she starts being like, where'd you put the pot?
So, yeah, also anybody that smoked weed, they were also freaks. Any sort of drug at all. I didn't really see.
I was going to say, did you do drugs? Did you drink? Did you smoke cigarettes?
I did not do any of those until my senior year, I drank. I never smoked cigarettes. I tried weed.
Well, you can call it what the kids call it, which is reefer.
I tried the reefer.
Yes.
I didn't like it.
Devil's lettuce, not for you.
Not for me. It was not my, wasn't my jam.
Wasn't your jam.
Also, kids don't say that. So, and then other drugs, I didn't see. They were probably there. I was so poor. Like, I would have never even had money to buy any of it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how people afforded cocaine in high school.
I know.
Still beyond me. But
well, I bet you that's what the Archies were doing.
The Archies were probably doing that. Yeah.
The Archies were, like, wrapping Ralph Lauren around their little necks and blowing lines of coke that they probably got in, like, Miami.
Right. On the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that was my experience. So the Archies didn't really like me.
Mm.
They didn't care. I didn't show up on their radar.
Yeah.
But the chorus crew loved me. The band.
Were you?
Loved me.
What was your, do you have like a memory on chorus where you got to sing something and you were like, this is my solo, this is my time, I'm shining bright?
The problem with that is I'm not a good singer.
Really? But they loved you.
Well, I'm a lot of fun, but I'm not a good singer. And my chorus teacher hated me.
And you got to have one, a chorus or a drama teacher has to hate a star.
He hated me, and he told me I was never going to go anywhere because I didn't take life seriously enough, and that I laughed too much, so much so that he told me to wear a rubber band around my wrist. And he said, you know, really, you need to take this more seriously. And he said, whenever you get the urge to laugh, you need to snap the rubber band to sort of inflict pain on yourself to snap you into don't laugh. Well, so, which of course makes me laugh just thinking about it. But so I did. I had my rubber band. And this, by the way, this teacher was like, he wanted to be number one in the state.
Yeah.
So we were going to go to nationals.
Yeah.
You know, so he was very, oh my God. So I put on the rubber band and we're rehearsing. And my friends knew that I was wearing the rubber band because they were like, what are you doing? And I was like, guys, I have to do this. So when he would say something, like I won't say his name, but the teacher, he once yelled at one of the other guys and said, Dan, you are a beat off. You are a beat off. And he kept saying, you're a beat off. And I am like, uh-oh. And I like snap my rubber band and it's dead quiet. There are 50 people in the course. It's dead quiet. And I snap my rubber band and then makes me laugh. And then everybody's laughing. And then I'm snapping it more. And of course, my teacher is losing his friggin' mind. He's like, stop it! Take the rubber band off! You're like, what do you want me to do?
Like, you told me to snap it. I'm snapping it. I'm doing everything that you're
saying.
You're
over here screaming, beating off.
I'm like, why would you yell at a teenage boy that, yeah, he's beating off too much? It's like, you can't. If you don't know that's funny, I can't help it. I had a gym teacher that when we had to do jumping jacks would tell us to jack it out. And I would be like, you can't say jack it out. And I would be so high in school a lot of the time. I was a big stoner. So when she said jack it out, I was losing.
You were laughing so hard.
Teachers, like, this is what I mean, though. Teachers need to know better.
I don't know if they do know and they're entertaining themselves or they don't know better and they don't give a shit.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I have a question for you. Yeah. Having a child that is now 18, she just graduated high school.
Yeah.
Like, did you have to go to parent-teacher conferences? And were you ever like... like, cut this shit, you know, like as a parent that had a interesting/fond memory of high school.
Right.
Like, did you ever feel like?
Well, my daughter went to a public high school, so there weren't a lot of parent-teacher
conferences.
There were specific ones, like if But basically, I'm the person that would have to instigate it. Mm. So it wasn't like, but she did go to private schools before that. And there were definitely those mm-hmm. type of, like one time, this has nothing to do with anything except school. But when my daughter was in, she was in a private school in grade school. And she and her friend decided they were going to start a band. Mm-hmm. She was probably 8. Mm-hmm. And none of them played instruments, nor did they sing. Mm-hmm. But they wanted to start a band. And the other girl, Helen, who was really the leader of the band, she was charging people. She wanted kids to bring in $100 to give to her.
And there was a time. That's so
and
funny.
And one of the other's mothers was freaking out. I don't know what to do about giving my daughter $100 to give to Helen. And it's like, don't give your daughter $100 to give to Helen. But I do remember that parent-teacher conference because the teacher called me and she's like, look, I guess we got to talk about the band. And she said, she was basically like, some of the moms are complaining that their kids – aren't allowed into the band unless they give $100 to your kids, to your daughter and Helen. And I said, I hear you. I hear you. And she said, I'm just telling you. You do with that information whatever you want.
Yeah.
So she was basically like, look.
Yeah.
They're 8-year-olds. I'm advising other mothers not to give their daughters $100. So do what you will. So she was cool. But, yeah. You know, so I never really had an experience with the teacher that was like, here's what we're going to do.
Right.
You know. But and in high school, if I did have a conference, they were actually really nice. Cool. And like,
I do feel like there's a shift. Like, I hope that there's been a shift. But maybe. When you were in drama, so you were also doing drama there, were you like the star of the plays or anything like that?
Yes.
You were?
Yeah, I was.
What was your favorite production?
Well, that was also the hard part. We did one called Vanities.
Ooh, yeah, I know Vanities. Mm-hmm.
And I got in a lot of trouble for that one.
Why?
Well, so in Vanities, blah, 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 there was a line in Vanities that was my line where – assembly. That was when – that was another word for the
assembly, assembly, yes.
Where the students had to come and watch.
Mandatory.
And we were doing a mandatory assembly where the students had to come and watch us do Vanities, which, by the way, high school students love to watch plays.
Love to watch theater.
Oh, do they. So they told me – one of my lines was, and I said, whatever his name was, maybe Peter, you keep your pecker in your pants. That I was told, do not say that line during assembly. It's inappropriate, not in front of the students. No, you won't. So we did the freshman and sophomore, and I didn't say it. But guess what happened with the juniors and seniors?
What?
I said it.
Yes.
Oh, I said it. And of course, you know, I mean, listen, nobody gave a shit, really. But I'm sure I got a lecture from somebody.
Well, you were like, look, like I spared the young kids.
Yes, these guys, believe me, they're saying worse than Pecker.
Yeah, there's a movie rating that's NC-17. Half of the people in the room are over the age of 17.
And by the way, it's art.
Yeah, it's art.
Yeah. So we had, I mean, but we did plays that one of our drama teachers, he was a real piece of work. Mm-hmm. So one of the plays that we did was called Gammer Gurton's Needle, and it was all in verse. Mm-hmm. So that also was not a huge hit. Nor was what was one of the other ones we did? We did The Man Who Came to Dinner. That was a huge hit in my mind. I got a great review from this school paper.
That's great.
That meant a lot to me.
That's huge.
So those were some of the, but yeah, no, did we do fun ones that, like a chorus? I know. Of course not.
That's so crazy.
We did Gimmer Curtain's Needle.
I was going to say, it sounds like a drama teacher who takes it very seriously. Oh, yes.
Yeah, he took it very seriously, and he thought it was important. Looking back, he must have been like, I'm going to light this school on fire with Gimmer Curtain's Needle. They're not going to know what hit them. They don't even know that they're going to love it.
Yeah.
They don't even know they need this, but they need it.
And they're going to be impressed.
So just imagine the whole play is about Gimmer Curtain
finding a needle.
Were you Gimmer Curtain? I was, because I remember one line where I find the needle and I say, it's the needle by the mass. Don't know what that means to this day.
But when we're doing this play,
it is just like during assembly, just a low roar during the whole time. They're just all the students are just talking to each other.
Absolutely.
Nobody, not a care could be given to what was happening on stage. But I took it very seriously. And I knew that that's what I wanted to do by that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I took it seriously. I took chorus seriously too, but it didn't really pan out.
Did you have a boyfriend in high school?
I did.
Was it serious?
Yes. I had two. Like, my first boyfriend, he was a freshman when I was a No, I was a freshman when he was a senior.
Sexual.
Scandalous.
Scandal. Deep scandal.
And then even when he graduated and started going to college, we were still dating.
Yeah. Which somehow feels like really weird.
It feels creepy now looking back.
Because like, if your daughter was a sophomore in high school and was like, I'm just going to go and visit my boyfriend who's a freshman at UCLA.
It's like
the Sigma Chi house.
Yeah. Not kidding. It would be like, maybe not. But yeah. I had broken up with him, but he really wanted to keep it going.
Mm.
So that was – but then I met – really, like, oh my God, this guy was my senior year. This guy named Lee, he came into the school during the school year.
Mysterious, sexy, hot.
Like a cute guy that transfers
random.
In.
Random.
I'm
it's
like,
a rom com. That's how it movies. Was
I was like, by the way, guys, he's mine.
Yeah,
and he played baseball, so
love
I understood him because I played softball.
Yeah.
At one point,
you say I have this amazing position in softball. I hold the baby
on the bench.
Yeah,
okay. But he was so funny and great and fun, and I still talk to him to this
That's
day.
That's so nice.
Yeah. Yeah, we really had a very soulful connection.
Did you think that, like, were you a lovesick teen? Did you think that he was, like, the love of your life?
This has got to be it.
Yeah.
I sort of went in and out of that, but I knew I was – by that point, I knew I wanted to be an actor. So mm-hmm. I was aware that that probably wasn't going to happen in Tallahassee, Florida.
Right.
You know? That I had a whole life ahead of me. I had to see what was out there in the world.
That's so nice.
Yeah, and I didn't know if he didn't really have that same sensibility. You know, he was pretty like, why leave? This place is great.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like I sort of knew, but I didn't have a like a false idea of like we're going to
stay together,
get
forever.
Married, and live happily ever after. Yeah.
You were like, did you move to Los Angeles after you graduated?
No, I moved. No, as a matter of fact, he went back to West Virginia,
where I assume he transferred from.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay,
and I stayed in Tallahassee. I went to beauty school.
Really?
Because I knew I wanted to be an actor, so I thought, oh, I should get my cosmetology license so I'd have something to
fall
do
back on
while I was
something.
Trying to get an acting job.
Yep.
Because I didn't think I was going to graduate. So I went to beauty school. And then after that, I went to West Virginia University. I went up there to be with him.
Wow.
And then we broke up.
Yes, classic.
Mm-hmm.
Did you graduate from there?
No. Then I went back to Florida and I graduated from the University of Central Florida.
There you go.
So, you know, but I still, but we had, but Lee and I, we thought that like some things in high school were so funny.
Yes.
And we, I still have notes. We would pass each other notes in the hall.
What would they say? Like,
oh, long notes.
Letters.
Letters. And you know, by the way, this is how old I am. We weren't, you weren't supposed to pass notes in high school.
Yeah.
You weren't allowed to pass a note in high school.
That's the same with me in my high school.
You weren't?
No, and I got in trouble one time really bad for passing a note. And the note contained scandalous information.
What did you do? Did the teacher see it?
Well, the note was passed to me. A note containing information that a boy was cheating on his girlfriend.
Oh, boy. That is
and the girl,
not for the masses.
No. And the girl that he was cheating with, the mistress, if
yes,
you will,
of course,
was the one who passed me the note telling me this. Now, the scandal was the girlfriend and the mistress, we all had science class together. The girl passed me the note.
No.
I read it and I go, oh. And I'm like, I read it and I'm like, and then I like make the connection and then I fold it and I put it in my notebook. And then me, dumbass, like end of class, I pick up my notebook and it flutters down to the ground.
Did you see it flutter?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And I thought I was going to have time to pick it up. No. Another student picked it up, read it, found the information, and then we are going to have to cut her name, looks at me and goes, were you passing notes in class? Like, so stern. And I was like, what? Like, playing
so this
dumb.
This is a teacher? This is a student?
Oh, okay. A teacher. We went by first names at my progressive high school.
Oh, that would be.
She goes, were you passing notes in class? And I was like, and the one fucking narc kid that picked up the note was like, yeah. Yeah, she was. And I was like, oh. And then everyone got mad at me because I was just the middleman that knew the information.
Right. Why is that your fault?
I said, I didn't want this girlie writing me this note.
Right. I didn't ask for it.
No.
So what happened? Did the teacher read it to the class?
The teacher then got the note and also read it. So then we all knew.
Knew the secret.
Yes.
But the teacher didn't read it to everybody.
No, I mean, I'm sure she wanted to. I'm sure she was like sucking on a bone.
Yeah,
I'm sure she was like, looking at that thing like,
I got some power.
Yeah, exactly.
We mostly didn't have scandalous notes. It was mostly hilarious. Like, you know, I know you have your chorus recital tonight. I don't know if I'm going to be able to contain myself when I see you in that polyester long gown that you stapled the hem of, you know.
So sexy notes.
Yeah, super sexy. So there were things like that where we were just really making ourselves laugh. We had a lot of inside jokes. And one of the things, this is, I've never said this to anybody.
Oh my God, I'm so honored.
One of our little secrets, me and my friends.
You and the Sochis.
And the Sochis, but just a certain few of the
small Sochis, select Sochis.
We came up with a code called Pudicuff.
What is that?
It's fucked up backwards.
Pudicuff.
Yeah.
That's really good.
On our notes, we would be like, should we get Pudicuff this weekend? And it's like, yes, Pudicuff, definitely. So that was also part of it. So there were things like that, you know.
That's really smart. I have to say, I really like Pudicuff. I'm going to start saying that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pudicuff is actually like for teen slang, that's actually a really good one.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Pudicuffed.
Pudicuffed.
And in your mind, when you're passing the notes, you're like, these teachers are never going to know.
They will never figure that one out.
They'll never decipher this code.
Like, I don't even know what that means. So yeah, we had a lot of notes like that.
I love that. Okay, wait, really quickly, the name of the toxic boy crew that I couldn't remember, Yes. They were called the Legit Chillers. And these were the hot boys that like everyone wanted to fuck.
They would be like, are you going to hang out with the Legit Chillers later?
The Legit Chillers.
And I had so intimidating.
I know. I had a boyfriend who was a Legit Chiller.
Wow.
Not to brag.
And then you truly did. Was it like a real club? Was there
no,
they just were like,
we'll it was just a crew
that labeled themselves
the Legit Chillers. Yeah. They were the like rich hot boys that weren't preppy, mm-hmm. but they were drinkers.
Yeah.
They weren't necessarily stoners. They were mostly just like drinkers that would have the big parties.
Like to get pootie-cuffed.
Yeah. They like to get pootie-cuffed. Oh my God. Knock, knock, knock. Is that the knock to the school guidance counselor's office? Mm. Why, yes, it is. Welcome to the high school guidance counselor's office. Yeah. I'm your high school guidance counselor. Yeah. In this segment of the show, I give you the opportunity to rectify a wrongdoing of the high school past.
Yeah.
You can use this time to say fuck you to someone to apologize. And then whatever, you know, whatever's been gnawing at you for the past, you know, few decades.
Yes, let's not put a...
I'm going to say for the past 7 years.
7 years since I was in high school.
You know, now is your time to release it. Okay. To release it from your soul.
I feel like I do owe some people from my chorus group an apology because at the time I thought it was funny and it still is funny, but we went on a cruise. One of our high school chorus trips was a cruise, which was
that's
amazing.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy when you think back. Also, growing up in Florida.
I was going to say, Florida.
You just drive over to the coast and they take you out. I don't know how far. Oh, actually, I went to the Bahamas. So.
Wow.
But my friends, so everybody had 4 people to a cabin. So, I mean, it was the mistake of my chorus teacher to put me and my 3 best friends in the same cabin.
And it absolutely is.
That's on him. Mm-hmm. But we decided we wanted to play practical jokes on everybody. So we went on a mission to try to get people's room keys. And we got a lot of them. And one of them was like we went to the girls, like the sort of the most popular girls in chorus who were very prim and proper and like, oh my God, you mm-hmm. did not just say that. We went into their room and we took all their bras and then we put them up in our friends in the guys' room who were our guy friends. They were also cute mm-hmm. that all the girls loved. But we put them up in their room, you know, and then so we listened. You know, because we could not wait for them all to come back into their rooms. And the guys came back and they were like, what the fuck? And they were like high-fiving each other. And, you know, this is causing a big stir. And then the girls are like, oh, my God, those are ours. And they are furious with the guys. And the guys are like, we didn't do it.
We just thought we walked into a gift of bras.
And we were in our room but, you know, looking back, was that an invasion of privacy to both parties? Yes.
Yes.
That's not nice. No. And not only them, but I'm pretty sure there was another group where we got all the girls' underwear from one room and all the guys' underwear from another room and switched them.
That's good.
And, you know, it sounds funny.
Yeah, it is.
But really, do you want and what, like one of the guys only? I mean, we could only find one pair of underwear, and at the time it was kind of funny. But now looking back, it's like I don't know why he only had one pair of underwear. Maybe he couldn't help it. So that's not funny. At the time, it was funny. But but when we switched their underwear, and you know. Yes, I apologize for that. It wasn't nice.
The great panty swap.
It was. It wasn't nice.
No.
It was an invasion of privacy. Yes. We had no right going into somebody's stuff.
Absolutely not.
Going into their room when they weren't there and rifling through their stuff.
Criminal.
It's criminal. I wouldn't want somebody doing it to me.
I would have been concerned that, like, my underwear would have, like, period stains. Remember when you're in high school and you got like period stains?
I know. I think it's just part of being a girl. Like, you don't know when that thing's coming. And you don't know when it's completely done. And you're like, oh, God, I thought it was in the clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. So guys, you know, and you always thought, oh, guys aren't going to understand it.
Yeah.
They're going to think it's like a diarrhea stain.
But well, I did have an experience where a guy saw my underwear and was like, is that shit? Wow. I was like, it's blood. Like, better than shit, it's blood.
You don't understand what I go through. It's not very fair being a woman. It's so hard.
No, it's awful.
Yeah.
And putting in a tampon for the first time is the worst thing in the world.
And taking it out, you can't find it, and that's a thing.
It's, I mean, my mom, for whatever reason, made my sister and I, both did it to both of us.
No.
She made us lay flat on the floor.
No, thank you. Flat.
Yeah, I don't know why. She made us lay flat on the floor, and then she was like, this is how you do it. She was not a very hands-on person like that. She was, like, not about that. But I did ballet. So my mom was like, well, I can't have you wearing a pad, you know, you'll because it'll stick out. So, yeah, I remember I laid flat on the floor. And for the longest time, I was like, do you have to lay flat to put one of these things in?
It was awful.
Yeah, because and then finally my dear friend Allie Gordon was like, you don't need to lay down to put it in.
That was before the internet.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. You could have Googled it.
Not really, though. It was when internet was weird. It was like,
right. It was just like chat rooms.
It was 2003 internet.
Right.
Which
people
is like
going on there for personal stuff. It was like, no. I wear the Beanie Babies.
Like, Google wasn't, where can I get the Beanie Baby? That was it.
Yeah.
So the internet was used for Beanie Babies and, like, shock porn.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I miss that. I want the internet to be simpler. For Beanie Babies now.
I know. When that's the biggest scandal is, underground Beanie Baby sales.
It was huge.
Those days.
My mom also never let me be involved in that. I remember being like, but I want the purple. There was, like, a purple charity one.
Yes. I just, you know, I do a podcast with Tig Notaro.
Yes.
And we do a podcast called Tig and Cheryl True Story.
Also on this gorgeous network.
Yes. And we watch a documentary and then we talk about that documentary every week. It's a different one. And by the way, we don't talk about it in a critical or even intellectual way.
Yeah, it's just what you observe.
It's just things that pop up.
Yeah.
So we talk about, you know, we'll just, sometimes we barely even talk about the documentary at all. But we just did Beanie Mania.
How was that doc?
It was fine. It was fine.
Is it interesting?
Well, listen, I can sum it up in three sentences.
Great.
Beanie Babies came out.
Mm-hmm.
Some moms were crazy about the Beanie Babies, and then other moms became crazy about the Beanie Babies. They started exploding, and Beanie Babies made a lot of money, and then people started knocking them off.
Right.
And then – but around that time was the Princess Diana died.
And they made the Princess
Diana Beanie Baby. And people were reselling them for so much. And long and short of it, the guy that ran it, Ty.
Yeah, Ty.
Was evading taxes. Turned out to be not a very cool guy.
I mean, he still sells them at his hotel properties.
Does he?
Yes.
Mm. So, I mean, one of the biggest scandals, the only scandal really in that thing was that one of the people that worked there said when Beanie Babies first became huge, he gave all of his employees a bonus of whatever their salary was. at the end of the year. So they were like, wow, that's so generous and nice.
Yeah.
And then the next year when it really exploded and they were making $1 billion, he made a specific Beanie Baby for them called the Billion Dollar Beanie Baby.
That was Billion Dollar Baby?
That was a Beanie Baby with a dollar sign on it. And that's what he gave the employees as their bonus. And then so people, they were worth something because it was limited, but he had numbered them. So if somebody did try to sell them on, you know, whatever, Craigslist, he would follow and figure out who's selling their priceless Beanie Baby for $6,000.
Well, I will say he owns one of the fanciest hotels in California.
Which one?
San Ysidro Ranch.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Yeah, and
this is a ticket I don't really do any exploring facts.
Well,
okay.
Ty Warner we're talking about.
Yes.
Yes. He also owns the property where the Four Seasons was in Santa Barbara. He owns the property, I think he owns the property where the Rosewood is now in Santa Barbara. He owns like half of Santa Barbara at Montecito.
Oh, wow.
So San Ysidro Ranch, for those listening, now we're really off the topic of high school, but whatever, here we are. It's like fancy, fancy, fancy. Gwyneth Paltrow got married there. You know, it's like right. Fancy
Hampshire
town.
It's beautiful.
It's beyond gorgeous. Yeah. It's so stunning.
Yeah.
And my husband took me there one time for dinner. We didn't stay there,
no,
but he took
me
there for dinner.
Not worth that. Yeah.
And this restaurant is so gorgeous and romantic and stunning and sophisticated. And then I see that all of the waitresses are carrying around Beanie Baby,
don't say this.
Little bags.
No.
That they need to carry around with them. It's part of their uniform. And I was like, what the fuck is this? I was like, I'm coming here
for a sophisticated evening and you're pulling out your friggin' Beanie Baby.
We're going to spend maybe $500 here.
Yes. Once in a lifetime.
Yeah, come on. I don't want to see a fucking a beanie baby while I'm eating some like uni amuse-bouche.
Yeah.
You know?
Have eyeballs?
Yes.
Because what if the women in this documentary is like, I don't know, I just fell in love with the Beanie Babies because their eyes were so expressive. And it's like,
They're plastic, hun. they don't move, babe. You're going to need to give that a second look.
I have to tell Tig this story.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy.
That is...
You and Tig should treat yourself to a fancy meal up at San Ysidro.
Oh, my God.
And by the way, when you go into their gorgeous, you know, hotel shop...
Yes.
I'm a sucker for a hotel shop.
Oh, my God, I love hotels.
It's a bunch of shit that you would never buy.
Never in a million years. But when you get there, you're like, oh, my God, I do need a deck of playing cards with waves on them.
Yeah.
It made my life so much better and more peaceful.
Yeah, like, I need a pillow that's a giant pom-pom made of alpaca.
Yeah. I didn't even know I needed it till this very moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they sell racks of Beanie Babies.
That is shocking to me.
Yeah.
Okay, I cannot wait to tell Tig this.
It's crazy.
Because from this documentary, it kind of seemed like, well, he was found guilty for tax evasion. And instead of doing any jail time, he got 2 years probation.
Classic.
So he was probably just running his...
Running his little Beanie Baby hotel business.
I like that he makes them wear Beanie Baby pouches.
I'm sure we can Google it when we're done recording.
I'll Google it.
Okay, wait. We're in the home stretch of the pod. I have a few more questions to ask you, and then I'll release you from this talk jail.
Like I said, I could talk about this
forever. If you get, hold on. Do we have a classmates corner?
We do.
What is it? So, this is my listeners write in to talk to the guidance counselor that is us.
I'm scared.
What is this one? I can't wait to hear who we have today. Also, it's okay. Tevi is sorting out some technical issues. Also, if you would like me to therapize you with my guest, please email us at seniorsuperlativespod@gmail.com with the subject line classmates corner. Okay, Tevi, take it away.
Today's not so much of a story, but more of a posing a question for you both.
Okay.
Dear guidance counselor, do you think it's possible to thrive in your hometown? Ever since the pandemic started, I've stayed around my hometown, partially because I like being close to my mom, partially because it's where a lot of my college friends ended up, despite my lukewarm interest in sustaining those friendships, but mostly because it's easy and familiar. And what more could a girl want in these times? I'm from a suburb of a city that is still pretty urban, so there's plenty going on, but I can't help but feel like it might not be possible for me to learn what I've got to learn and create what I want to create. When I'm constantly worried about running into my old friends and most significantly, my ex from high school. Do you think it's only possible to find yourself in new environments, or is it possible to thrive and discover myself without all the uprooting and anxiety that comes with moving to a new place? So much love, Greta. Thanks, Lily.
You gotta leave, hon.
That's so funny. I would say the I would say the opposite.
Okay, my take is you gotta spread your wings and fly. Leave that town. Leave them all behind. Never look back.
never look back.
What's your advice?
You know, my best friends from high school, like two of them left, two of them stayed. And the two that stayed, they really like it there.
That's great.
So I think you can find yourself there, but not if your fear is running into people you know, then I think you need to figure out how to work through that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, that's a long life where you're like, I don't want to go to Winn-Dixie because I'm afraid to run into what's his name that I dated in 1987.
Yeah.
But you know, if she and it does sound like it would take a minute for her to really get it straight in her mind what she wants to learn from life, and if she can learn that from where she is. But also, what will I say to this person? She needs to empower herself.
Yes.
What will I say to this person when I run into him? And think about it ahead of time so it's not like, oh, God, hi. Right. You like chicken too? I just saw you in the chicken section. You know, but, you know, to say, how are you? Yeah. Whatever it is, if you want to have a real connection, or if you want to keep it superficial and it's good to see you and you march on.
Or you can do the incredibly mature thing and ignore. You can do what I do. Make eye contact, dead face. You look, you do this. And then you walk away.
This is that you are not registering with me at all. I mean, the thing is about, I love my hometown of Tallahassee, and there is something very sweet about it. There's something, you know, I find the older I get that it's nice to have real connections with people that you have a history with.
Yeah.
But if the other people are holding you back, then maybe go elsewhere.
I do think that you can stay and thrive in your hometown, but I agree with the wise Cheryl that you need to do internal work of being like, okay. And also, you need to make concerted effort to not retreat back to the comforts of your high school self, where you need to do the things as an adult in your hometown that you
want to do
and that you didn't do when you were young.
Yeah, if you're hoping to grow, you know, don't blame it on, oh, I just decided to stay in my hometown so I didn't.
Yeah.
So I'll just keep doing this thing. Like, that's not going to help you.
No, it's hard.
Yeah, it's hard.
And I have a lot of friends that stayed in D.C., that live in D.C., and their lives in D.C. are nothing
like their high school life.
Yeah. Their high school life.
No, but my friends, you know, their kids went to the same high school that we went to.
That's sweet.
One of my friends is a teacher there.
I love
that. One of my friends was the principal. So it's like, there's a sweetness about it if you want it.
Right.
If that's not, you know, fulfilling enough, if you're going to be sitting there going, what am I missing in another city, then go do that thing. And
you can always go back.
You can always go back.
Home is where the heart is.
That's right.
Did you have – oh, wait. If you could go back in time and give your high school self any advice, what would it be?
I really wish I would have tried harder in my classes because I really did not.
What was the GPA?
Maybe. I'm sure it was in the twos.
Mine was in the twos too.
Yeah. So I wish I mean, I'm sure there was stuff that I should have learned.
But you had fun.
I had so much fun.
So I do think there is something to be said. I know a lot of kids in high school who were so stressed out, so obsessed with grades and where they were
going to go to school and all
they
that.
They didn't even have their, like, adolescence.
Right.
Because it's like when we're adults, we have to stress about all of this shit.
Yeah.
And when you're kids, like, you gotta do something.
Right,
you know?
But, you know, I didn't have any money, and I probably could have gotten scholarships somehow if I had just – but I didn't think I was going to go to college. After high school, I was like, I'm done.
Right.
But I wish I would have thought about that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I read more of the books.
You know what I did? I read zero of the books when I was in high school. And then when I moved to LA, I decided I'm going to go back. I'm going to read all the books that I probably should have read. I'm like reading Wuthering Heights and loved it.
It's great.
I was like, oh my God. Why didn't I read this?
Catcher in the Rye.
I mean, all, the
Great
books.
Gatsby.
Yes. So I was like, no wonder they wanted us to read these.
Yeah, they're great.
How did I do book reports where I never read one book?
I also do feel like Catcher in the Rye. I know that recently it was banned at some schools.
Yeah, it's.
I'm like, what? What's,
yeah.
No. I'm like, because it's about a grumpy, angsty teen that like calls people phonies. Why are we banning this?
Why is that a bad thing? Meanwhile, my stepdaughter had to read Lolita, which I read with her because I was like, oh, yeah, I never read Lolita. And I'm like, this thing is
intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are they reading about
underage sex?
Yeah. that's the advice I would give myself.
Did you have an outfit in high school where you were like, this is my hottest outfit. I am so confident. I can rule the world in this outfit. Mm. And if so, what was that outfit?
Mm. That is a good question. Shoot. I didn't have that many outfits.
like a garment where you were just like, this is me.
Well, I had this polka dotted sort of crop top shirt.
Love it.
And striped pants.
I love it.
And I felt like, look who's mixing and matching their patterns. And all the other girls are wearing their, like you said, Ralph Lauren with the collars and the sweaters. And I'm like, mm-mm.
Power clashing.
Yeah, I am power clashing with my bright colors. I'm not going neutral.
No.
And I always felt like, there was one girl in our school who never wore the same outfit twice.
What? Mm-hmm. How is that possible?
I don't know, but she did.
Oh, my God.
And she knew that was what she was known for, and she leaned into it.
Wow.
And I was like, I don't understand how that happened. Me with my striped pants and my polka dot shirt, like every Friday, it's my Friday.
You're like, I'm hitting you with this hot outfit again. You guys can't wait to see what I've got mixed up for you.
You're ready.
What did you wear to your senior prom?
Well, for my senior prom, first of all, I went to prom every year because a senior invited me every year.
And that's not your fault.
It's not my fault. But I had no money. So every year, my sister and my friend, Linda and I, we would go to the Goodwill to find dresses, which was hilarious and fantastic. And we actually found pretty good dresses. But one year, my sister, we put on our dresses. Right before our dates got there, we were looking at Becky, my sister, Dr. Becky Hines's dress, and she said, you know what? These are giraffes. Like, it's a pattern of giraffes on my dress. But it was kind of light gray. And I was like, oh. And we were both like, is this bad? It might be bad. And it was just like, no choice. Like, just, you're going to have to wear the giraffe dress. And we, like, laughed all night. We laughed so much giraffe dress. And then my senior year, we decided to a group of girls exchange dresses.
Mm, that's nice.
So we were like, I loved your dress from last year, and you want to borrow it? I said, oh, my God.
That's sweet.
So it was great. So we all just shifted around dresses.
And what color was it?
It was black.
Mm.
And my prom date's mom was furious.
Really?
Because why would you wear black to the prom?
Is this Lee's mom?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She did not think it was appropriate and too sophisticated. And, you know, why wouldn't you wear a springtime color?
What a strange,
it was scandalous.
The freak hill to die on.
Yeah, the freak hill to die on. Angry that I wore a black
dress. So silly.
By the way, that wasn't even mine.
Yeah.
But No regrets, y'all.
No regrets.
No regrets.
And finally, my last question of this perfect podcast is, did you have a senior superlative?
Yes. My senior. Although when I tell people this, some people get the wrong idea. But I was voted friendliest.
Okay.
Which I think is fine. But then if some guy ever asked me and I say friendliest, they were like, oh, does that mean you got around?
Oh.
I'm like, no, it wasn't like, this wasn't a code for
like
got around.
Yeah, I'm not like sucking every guy off friendliest.
Literally, I was friendly to
people. Yeah. Like, why can't a girl just be friendly?
I don't know.
I could see that. I could see you as friendliest.
Thank you. Because I do feel like I got along with everybody. Like, I understood the jocks, once again, from my softball pass.
I understood the band members
from my chorus.
Absolutely.
Experience. And then the Archies, I appreciated their style.
And the freaks, I mean.
And the freaks, God bless them.
God bless them.
They're like flying the flag. And I'm like, thank you guys.
I do feel like you probably had a little bit of everyone inside of you.
I did. Well, because by the way, the only people in drama were freaks.
Yeah. Well, and me. Obviously.
The freaks and one Soshi.
Yeah. All freaks, one Soshi.
Yeah.
So you know.
Yeah, that they supported me.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So I was like,
I floater.
I was a floater.
Yeah.
I was a floater.
A floater. Yeah. I do feel like it's very common with creatives to be floaters.
Ah.
Because you need to kind of understand
where they're coming from.
And the alchemy of the school. Right. And you're like, okay, I get it. I'm a floater.
No, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Instead of spending time judging.
Yeah.
There was a lot of judgment.
Teens love to judge.
It was hard. There were parts of it that were so hard.
Being a teenager is really painful.
And once again, like we said at the beginning, it's real.
Mm-hmm.
It's real pain.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be discarded.
Well, it's very confusing because I do think, like we said up top, you have a lot of these really real big emotions that are like informing kind of they're imprinting on you.
Right.
You know?
That's true.
And then
that is true.
You also know that you shouldn't take them seriously. It's like, it's all very...
Well, it's like going to, you know, Goodwill for your prom dress.
Right.
Like, it's painful being in high school and not being able to afford a prom dress.
Right.
It's like a real pain.
It's humiliating.
Yeah. And so it's like, it's, once again, goes to how can you empower somebody who's in that position.
Right.
Because your instinct as a parent now is to protect your kids from being in that. My kids are never going to have to, you know, go through
do
what
that,
I went through.
Yeah.
But it really – somebody just told me, and I thought it was so interesting, a very wise doctor in therapy, who said when your kid turns 12, that's when – yes, you still need to protect them, but you need to start empowering them.
Mm.
So realizing you're not going to be able to protect them from all the stuff that comes at them, but empower them to figure out a way to handle it.
Right.
So I was fortunate because my sister was a few years older. We share the same sensibility. And instead of being really sad about it, not to say it didn't make me sad that I couldn't afford a prom dress. Mm-hmm. But to shift your thinking and instead of saying, well, then I can't go to prom, go,
right.
Oh, yeah, we'll fucking figure this out.
Yeah.
We're going to go. We would laugh so hard.
So nice.
Didn't take ourselves seriously when we went to the prom. It wasn't, you know, we didn't feel like we had to have that princess moment
right.
of walking into the prom.
And like every, and every, and everyone, like the world stands still.
Yeah, and they all turn in slow motion to look at you. Yeah, so it was good for me to learn that. And I think also, you know, when you're saying what's the advice you can give to yourself if you could,
mm-hmm.
it would be that.
Yeah.
You know, learn how to empower yourself.
Yeah.
So you're not scared.
Yeah.
And you don't feel like a victim.
Yeah. It's the last, I know that we've been like going a really long time and I'm going to end on this point, but I do think, you know, I am thinking, I observe teens now. I sound so
creepy.
You sound
really old.
But like now when I'm like, if I see like TikToks or like Gen Z-y type stuff, they all feel very empowered to me in a way that like I am envious of. Right. And at the same time, I'm like, it does make me feel old because I'm like, you need to learn the hard way. You know what I mean? Right. Where I'm like, who's telling you you're fucking awful? Right. No one. Like all of you guys just are empowered and feel good about yourself.
Well, I do think the pendulum has swung a little bit. And even, you know, my daughter growing up, it was, there are no losers if there's a soccer match or whatever. And it's like, I mean, I remember her. There was a 1 year in a different school she was in when she was little. You know, they had a Halloween costume contest, and my daughter really wanted to win, but also did not put any work into her costume.
She's like, I'm a witch. Yeah, she just puts on a little hat.
Yeah, exactly. And she was like, I'm sure I got this in the bag, and we went and. It was really cute, and they did their stuff, and somebody else won, and she was so furious and angry and mad, and I said, Kat, that's, you know, this is what happens when there's a contest, one person wins, but then the next year they'd never had them. They never had a contest again. They just had, like,
you can't do it.
The parade, because, I mean, I never went back to the faculty and said, oh, my God, my daughter cried all the way home.
No.
But I have a feeling there were parents.
Of course.
But so I don't know if that's that helpful, you know.
Yeah.
Because there are those lessons that need to that are going to have to be learned sometime. But so it's kind of a swinging to,
exactly.
I'm not going to take that from nobody.
Right.
Like, you're going to have to take some
eventually.
Of that.
Eventually
you
will.
You're going to have to take some of it from somebody, but okay.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Thank you so much for coming on my podcast.
Thank you.
I've had such a lovely time talking with you.
I have had such a great time talking to you. Now I feel like all I want to do is talk about high school.
You know what? You can come back for part two anytime you want.
I would love to.
I am here for it.
Thank you.
You have been such an inspiration to me in my career as a comedian and actor.
I feel so happy that
you're here.
Thank you.
Everyone, listen to your podcast with Tig.
Tig and Cheryl, True Story.
It's a fabulous show. I'm gonna listen to it on my way home.
Well, it's ridiculous. Do not think that sometimes people will write it. I mean, most people write in and say, oh, my God, this made me do a spit take when I was, you know. We have a lot of people that are like nurses and doctors that do heavy things all day. And so they listen to this because it's not,
they're like, when I was performing a triple bypass,
I did a spit take. So we have a lot of people write it and say that. But so it's just silly and fun.
Can't wait.
Silly and fun.
I love it.
If you like silly and fun,
listen to the pod.
Yeah.
Come on. As always, thank you so much for tuning into my podcast. Please give me 5 stars, only positive reviews. I am sensitive.
I get it.
You know, it's just like,
why bother otherwise?
I had a guy tweet at me the other day saying, I listen to you on Netflix as a joke. Just looked at your Twitter. Not funny at all. Awful. I was like, okay.
Thanks.
What? Honey, you're clearly obsessed because you're looking me up.
Right. And spending time to write this.
Yeah.
That it's like, okay.
It's so stupid.
It's impossible.
Okay, please just enjoy the rest of your week. And as I say every week, stay cool, never change. Until next time, ciao.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.